that. So tonight, we're looking at really the central thought found in verse 15. We're kind of working toward that. If we're going to have this mature mindset, it means that there's going to be constant conformity to Christ all along the way. We can't be perfect this side of heaven, but we can strive to be perfect. That's the mindset, I think, of the mature. We left Philippians 3 last week with a close look at verse 11. And it's a difficult verse. I don't really know exactly what it means. But we can conclude that Paul is speaking of attaining to the resurrection from the dead in the sense that he wants to be faithful in the situation that he's in. The word is unique. It doesn't occur in any other part of the Bible. It's two Greek words that mean out resurrection. I guess most Greek grammar experts would simply say that it's in really intense form of the word. It's emphatic. But when I read it in the context, it's hard for me to understand where Paul would see the emphasis. So maybe he did purposely use the word to communicate the idea of rapture. We all want to still be living when the Lord Jesus returns to rapture his church, to remove the church, both the living and the dead, from the earth, and we will all then be with the Lord Jesus. That's what we attain to. That's what we look forward to. As a matter of fact, that's our expectation and hope. And what better time for expectation and hope than at Christmas time? Jesus did come the first time to save his people from their sin. He's coming the second time to judge the world. And we want to make sure that we're coming with him, not him coming to meet us here on the earth and having to suffer under the wrath of God. So he picks up that same thought in verse 12. He says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." So lay hold in the continual present tense on Paul's part. Jesus had laid hold of him in the past tense part. So I think he had laid hold of him on that Damascus road. He's laid hold of us at different points. For me, it was in July of 1990 that the Lord Jesus laid hold of me, and then I continued to press on and lay hold of that for which he has laid hold of me. In other words, that's my sanctification. I'm continually pressing toward that mark. He says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended." He will never arrive on this side of the veil. He's always pressing forward in his relationship with Christ. "But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, well, God will reveal even this to you." In other words, you'll get it. Somewhere along the line, you will get it, even if it has to be arriving in heaven smelling of smoke. In other words, you've lost all your reward, but because you're a child of God, you are there in heaven nonetheless. So, what are these verses saying? Well, I think they're talking about this idea of conformity or completion, perfection. How is it that I grow in my relationship with Christ? If you look at verse 12, Paul is still striving to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, as he says in verse 10. So, he is converted, he knows Christ, but he is not conformed yet. That conformity is going, it's an ongoing process. So the way that I like to think about it is this way. Conversion changed the direction of my life, right? Now I'm going in the right direction, but I have to keep on going. That's the idea. I am being perfected in my walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. So once we're converted, we face the hard reality before us, and that is, in order for us to grow, we understand that we still sin. Now, how do I sin less and less as I live my life and put sin that was once so deeply rooted in my life behind me so that I am conformed to Christ, so that maybe the sin is not a pattern in my life. Maybe it's just something that I occasionally fall into. I think that that's what we shoot for, and we fall into it less and less as we live our lives. That's spiritual progress. I press on, and I lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. I couldn't lay hold of anything, right, unless Christ had laid hold of me first. Now, when he comes to verse 13, Paul hasn't apprehended, right? He hasn't been fully conformed to Christ. And so he's saying, I'm acting like a runner, where I'm pressing forward to the tape that's set before me, straining every muscle in this race, the Christian race, never looking back. Now, if you're thinking that he never remembered his past, you'd be wrong, because there have already been points in Philippians where he's remembered his past. In this very chapter, at the beginning of chapter 3, he remembered his past. And he uses his past in his testimony. We don't ever forget our past, right? That's impossible, and that's not what he's saying. What he is saying is there is this drive in me where I don't look back, where I don't dwell on those things. I don't rehearse them over and over again, and I live a life where I'm constantly defeated. He looks back and he says to us, yes, I was a Pharisee. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. But that has led me to a point where I'm no longer interested in that past. I'm not interested in pursuing self-righteousness. That's why I think he's so dead set against legalism in Galatians. I'm not interested in staying there. I want to move forward and make sure that my faith in Christ is conforming me to him, so that I'm looking more and more like him. So my past informs me, but it doesn't deform me. All right? I'm not undergoing this idea of letting the past mangle me. And I think some people are like that. They allow the past to dictate their futures. They stay there, whatever it happens to be, maybe addiction or maybe abuse or maybe a struggle with people in your life or rightly relating to people because of a personality deficit. Okay, we don't stay in the past. We keep moving forward in our relationship, and we see how God is bringing us along. That should be something that we strive for. Verse 14, the goal is that tape, straining, moving forward. John put it this way, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, speaking of Jesus, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. I don't even think that arriving, once we get to heaven, and looking as Jesus looks, having that resurrection body and no longer capable of sinning, I think even then we're still going to grow in our understanding of who he is, because God is infinite. But we will have arrived in the sense that there is no more fight with sin, and there is no more death, and there is no more sorrow, and there all of the things that make it such a struggle now won't be there hindering our relationship with the Lord Jesus then. So simply put, Paul is saying, my goal is to know Christ as much as I can possibly know him while I'm still living, before I die. And I think he's saying, I hope that the Lord comes even before I die and catches me in the act of serving him. And that should be the desire of every Christian, that we would be caught in the act of faithful service. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in his body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Good or bad in the sense of profitable or profitless, useful or useless. That's what he's talking about there. The things that I'm doing, am I just spinning my wheels in life, or am I doing something useful for the Lord Jesus? He said it this way in chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians. He said, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. So what is he saying there? He's saying all believers run the race. We're all running the race. And we all have our own lane. God has given us that lane. And we run in that lane. And each of us has a goal. That's the tape. And we have to achieve that goal before the Lord. If we run in a way that the Lord designed us to run, staying in our own special lane, right? Then we will receive a reward. If we fail, we won't. However, the Bible teaches us that we will never lose our status as children of God. Now, when I add that, that doesn't mean that the former is something that is unimportant, where we all of a sudden just dismiss it. I think that all of us would do well to dwell on that, because it keeps us going. It keeps us from quitting. Those who are mature, Paul says, therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this mind that I've been explaining to you, that he's been explaining to us. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. So those who are mature, from Paul's perspective then, are those who are relatively mature compared to other believers. In other words, we're the ones that are moving forward in our relationship with the Lord Jesus. Not perfect. We know that we're not perfect. But we have the mindset of the mature. That's what he's saying. This is where I think where the old writers come into play when they say there is one area where being discontented is good. It's a holy discontentment. That discontented feeling, that dissatisfied feeling that comes upon us each and every day when we know that we could be closer to Christ than we actually are if we would just surrender in a certain area of our lives. That's what he's talking about. That's the mature mindset. There are some people who teach that you can be spiritually perfect, that you can arrive while you're living this life, that you can be wholly sanctified in this life. I just don't buy that. You will never find perfection in this life. I think the closest you can get is you will find perfection if you keep striving for it. That's the idea. We keep striving for perfection. I enter each day thinking, I will not sin today, and I'm going to move forward, and the things that I say, the things that I do, I can usually master those to a certain degree, the things that I say and the things that I do, but what about the things that I think? It's the thinking that gets us, isn't it? And as we think in our hearts, so we are. And we need to realize that. We have to work from the inside out. I think if we work from the inside out, then we don't have to be preoccupied with the doing or preoccupied with the way that we're speaking. Because if everything's right on the inside, all of that will come out the way that it should. And so we strive for perfection, a perfection that we never reach. It's all in the striving. If you think otherwise, Paul says, well, have patience. God will reveal even that to you. In other words, you just don't know what you're talking about. He's being polite about it, but that's what he's saying. You don't know what you're talking about. This is the Christian life, and this is the way that it should be. So, the mindset of the mature. The questions that we need to ask ourselves as we go to prayer tonight are we running in our lane? You won't win a prize if you don't run, right? So you have to run. And you have to stay in the lane that God has given you. That's why it's really foolish for us to compare ourselves among ourselves. God has something unique for us to do. We need to do it. And we're not going to be doing it the same way that other believers do it. We run in our lane. And I think that this clicks with what we've been reading in Galatians. Remember, the Galatian believers were struggling because they had false teachers telling them everybody's got to be in the same lane. And they have to be running a certain way. And so they struggled with these false teachers. And Paul says to them, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? And so what I have to ask myself is, am I running in my lane? Who is it or what is it that's hindering me from obtaining the prize? Whatever it is, it's time for me to get rid of it. And I think that that's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. And you might believe that's Paul. But that's what the writer of Hebrews is saying in Hebrews 12 when he says, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares you, and let us all run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The second question that we might ask ourselves is, are you on the verge of quitting? Many times along my Christian life, this is where I've had the problem. It's not that I'm not running. I think that I'm running, all right? It's the idea of quitting. All of us struggle with that. Are you on the verge of quitting? Haven't you thought about the consequences of doing that? Because if you quit, you won't receive the reward that the Lord has for you. You know, can we so easily dismiss this idea of losing a reward? I mean, this is what the Lord has told us to strive for. I don't think it's the heart of a Christian to say, oh, I know my position of being a child of God is secure. I don't care about the rest. As long as I get to heaven. That is not the mindset of the mature. And so we need to be challenged to break free of that kind of lethargic Christianity. Losing the prize that is set before you at the end of the race, that's a bad deal. That's not something that you want to happen in your life, and it would be something that would grieve me as your pastor if that were to happen. If we were to be at the judgment seat of Christ together and I saw you lose a reward that you could have, that would be something that would be a grief to me. And so may God strengthen us to run, to endure, and to receive an unfading crown of glory when we get to the end of our race. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity that you give us to be here together. I pray, Lord, for all of my brothers and sisters here and even those within the sound of my voice, even in a recording, maybe in some future time, that there would be a desire to run the race. They would not quit. That they would constantly be thinking that race is run before you and it's worth running. Lord, keep us from evil and keep us from the evil one this week. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to go ahead and pray together this evening.